Hello, this is Lisa from AR.co.za. The South African team Merrill Adventure Addicts has recently participated in the 2013 Adventure Racing World Championships in Costa Rica. They placed fifth after 180 hours of racing, and I'm speaking to their captain, Graham Bird. The first part of this interview didn't save, but I did ask Graham about the first paddling leg, where the team arrived at the end of the mountain bike stage in around 21st position and climbed to 7th after the paddle. Paddling the Tomcat two-person inflatable rafts, there isn't a huge difference in the attainable speed between the faster and slower teams. The strong teams just take less breaks and paddle more consistently. As Merrill had started the paddle midfield and really out of position, they just paddled consistently and not putting in any extra special effort, they paddled themselves back into the position that they should have been in. I also asked Graham about the mangrove section and the tides. He said that the tides had a huge effect on this section, with the water level changing by 2 to 3 meters. Channels that were passable at high tide became impassable at low tide and affected their route choice options. On the section where they were heading for CP18, Merrill encountered the leaders who had lost 2 hours trying to get through a small channel to straight line it to the checkpoint. These teams were backing out to paddle around, and Merrill decided to use the opportunity to sleep for 2 hours, waiting out until they could get higher water so that they could use the channel. But after 2 hours, the water wasn't high enough to allow passage, so, like the teams ahead of them, they ended up paddling a long route around to get to the checkpoint. After the paddle, the team cycled 100 kilometers to the midway camp, where they had a compulsory stop before setting off on the 92-kilometer mountain trek. In this next part, Graham speaks about getting to the end of this hike and realizing that they're in the race for fourth. By this stage, the first three teams have made it onto the river before the dark zone, splitting the field.
Five or six teams in the race for, at that stage, which was fourth place, because obviously Seagate was still racing. So we realized we were in the race for fourth place. The top three had obviously got through the day before. But instead of then jumping on our bikes right there and then at T7 to head across to T8, which is where the rafting started, we decided to rather sleep at T7 than to push straight onto the bikes after a 43-hour hike, whereas the other teams pushed straight through. So we did a slightly different strategy there, hoping it would work in our favor with a slightly longer and better sleep at T7 and a quicker recovery from the big hike than the other teams were trying to do. I think we did end up maybe getting slightly more sleep than them, but we did get to the bike transition slightly wrong. We got our calculations slightly out, and we ended up starting the rafting leg 45, 50 minutes behind four teams, which was, Adidas, Tecnu, and then the two Brazilian teams, which we didn't really have a problem with. We thought we would slowly maybe catch them on the paddling leg. On the paddling leg, we ended up having a disastrous night from about 5 in the evening until about 12, where we just, all four of us, suffered terribly from sleep monsters, paddling through all those canals.
Talking about sleep, Merrill Adventure Addicts seem to have done better than most of the teams ahead of them in getting well-timed sleep.
Yeah, we had four stops for sleep. So we stopped and slept somewhere on the second night on the mountain bikes for about an hour and a half next to the side of the road. Then we obviously got just over four hours sleep at the mid-camp. Again, at mid-camp, we decided to sleep longer. Mid-camp was only a four-hour compulsory stop, and we decided to make it a five-and-a-half or six-hour compulsory stop, and we slept for 4 hours there. We felt we needed more rest. We stopped an hour and a half on the big hike to sleep on the banks of the river just before one of the checkpoints. And then again, we slept the 4 hours after the big hike. So those are our four times we stopped for sleep, which adds up to about 11 hours, I think. Like I said, we then slept on the boats on that last paddle leg, which we probably estimate we each got about an hour and a half on the boats through that night. So that was the sort of total amount of sleep we got, sort of around 12 or 12 and a half hours.
So, Graham, about your feet, having been on the long hiking leg and in the boats, what did you guys do to take care of your feet?
We didn't do much different. We put sports lube on. We made sure they were clean before putting new socks on. But there was nothing else you could do. You just had to trust that your feet were going to hold out and go for it. I mean, like I said, on that big mountain trek, we were just in mud. I mean, we walked in mud for 7 hours just on the one section, then again on the next section, and again on the next section. Your feet just were wet and continually sort of damp. And luckily, our Merrells were absolutely brilliant shoes. The Seismics that we use dry very, very quickly. They, obviously you can walk them dry in about 30 minutes. So, even though we were in and out of mud, as soon as you came out of the mud and walked on the dry path for 30 or 40 minutes, your shoes ended up being, you know, not 100% dry, but 80% dry again. So I can't say we did anything special, and I didn't really see my teammates doing anything special with their feet either. And our feet were absolutely fine. We got to the medical stop. They had a one-hour medical stop just near the end of the hike where they had guys and doctors check out our feet. And at that stage, the doctor said to me, my feet are the best feet he'd seen out of all the competitors. So somehow we were doing things right, whatever we were doing, and we weren't doing anything. So we're quite happy. And then Susan got your usual sort of blisters, but I think that's a natural thing for a novice expedition adventurer, so where your feet still need to build up a bit of sort of resistance to big, long treks. One thing I can say, though, is on the last hike, we seemed to pick up, all of us picked up feet problem that we hadn't had throughout the whole race. And it was odd. Turning to the French team afterwards, it seems they also picked up problems from there onwards. So maybe in that section of mud from where we got out of the boats to the last bike transition, there was something in the mud there, and everyone sort of got a bit of a rash or developed a bit of foot rot or whatever from there onwards. But up to there, we actually had no issues at all, and even now, all of our feet are fine. So we developed a little bit of a problem on the last 18 Ks, but nothing that slowed us down, and now completely gone and healed.
The final 160-kilometer bike leg made for captivating watching. You left Transition not far behind a bunch of teams and were gaining ground, and then you took a detour, losing an hour or two. You caught one or two of them by the ferry crossing, and then you zipped past BMS when you hit the elusive CP48 spot on. Did you see the teams during the stage to know where you were positioned?
At the start of that mountain bike leg, we were behind KwaZulu-Natal and the two Brazilian teams. We managed to catch back up to them, and Tecnu and Adidas were 2 hours down the road. So we realized we were in a good fight for fifth place, and we actually came upon them very quickly at the start of that cycle leg, and we passed both Brazilians. We think we had built up a fair gap on them. And then probably more in my sleep-deprived state, and because I was really battling tired at that stage, we really battled to find the road north to Nicaragua. The map was really bad, and maybe I just wasn't totally with it or something, but we battled to find the road and ended up doing about 20 kilometers extra and probably lost our hour and a half or 2 hours to the two Brazilian teams. Then when we got to the border at Nicaragua, we saw KwaZulu-Natal there, and they'd had bike problems. One guy didn't fall. I think his freehub body just seized up, so he had a bike problem. They then spent time trying to get a bike from the locals. So that's when we caught and passed KwaZulu-Natal. I think they destroyed one of the railers on the borrowed bike as well, so they had to change that. And then we knew Neil and them were a long day down the road, so we thought it was sixth place for definite. And then coming into checkpoint 48, we got in there, and as we were sort of heading down the track, Neil's team was coming up, the Brazilian team, and we were, huh? And then they said, no, they've been searching there for 2 hours and they can't find it yet. They're heading out to get their bearings again and get reference points. So we said, well, we're going to go in and try and look. And we actually went down into the point, and we found it straight away. It took us 5 minutes of searching, and we got the point, and we were out of there. And we actually kept looking back because we saw their lights. They sort of were starting to come back in as we went in, and we thought, shuck, we hope they haven't seen us. And they didn't see us. I think they spent another 4 hours looking for the point after we left. So we realized, obviously, we were in fifth, and we gunned it to the finish for the canopy and the rafting float down to the finish. Yeah, I'm very happy.
If you could do something different and better in your next race, what would it be?
I don't actually know. I think I haven't had time to fully sit down and analyze our race now yet. Straight off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, actually. I can't think of anything major that we did right or major that we did wrong. I just think one of the things we did do was we had a consistent race, and we looked after ourselves. We didn't get caught up in heat-of-the-moment battles where, you know, sprinting for checkpoints or pushing hard for 2 hours because the team's around you or getting caught up in any of that type of stuff. You know, if teams caught us, they almost walked straight past us and left us, and we didn't get caught up in trying to go their speed or something. And I think that's the one thing I think we did right, and something that I would like to see us maintaining for other races is focusing on ourselves and our own race plan and our own race speed rather than worrying about what's going on around you. You know, make sure we're doing a race pace for the amount of time we expect to be out there rather than race pace for the heat of the moment stuff.
Graham, thank you very much.
And I just, thank you to you guys, and thank you to everyone back home and everywhere that did follow and support us, and it was great to know that there were so many people out there watching and looking, and we hope we didn't frustrate you all too much, as you stared at that dot late into the night and through the full 7 days. We did our best to keep it moving in the right direction for you guys.